Thank you. Debbie, roll call, please.
Here.
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 Thank you. All right, item 3A, oath of office. Oaths of office.
Is Karen Hill here? How about Mr. Fuse?
He's here.
I know Mr. Finch is here. Okay. Peter, after me, I state your name.
Peter Finch.
Rick Fees.
Citizen of the United States of America and a resident of the town of Pond Sinlet, appointed to the Code Enforcement Board, to solemnly swear and affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America, laws of the state of Florida, and charter of the ordinances of the town of Pond Sinlet, and duly qualified to serve under the Constitution of the state of Florida, charter of the town of Pond Sinlet, that will faithfully execute my performance duties, the board of which I am about to enter. So help me God.
I do.
Please sworn.
Thank you. Okay, 3B, election of chairperson. Does anybody want to make a motion to name a chairperson?
I move to nominate Peter Finch to serve as chair.
I second.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, I'll accept.
Thank you.
Do we need a vote on that?
Yes. Let's close the nominations. Right.
We'll close the nominations, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. C, election of a vice chairman.
I make a motion to move to elect Kathy Cannon as our vice chairman this year.
Yeah, second.
I'll accept, thank you.
Any other nominations for vice chairman? Seeing none, we'll close the nominations. All those in favor of Kathy Cannon, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Adoption of the agenda, number 4. Does anybody have any changes or wish to change it at all?
I'll move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Roll call, Deb, please.
Ms. Cannon?
Yes.
Ms. Richard?
Yes.
Mr. Van
Valkenburg? Yes.
Mr. Bench?
Yes.
Mr. Michael?
Yes.
Thank you. Number 5, disclosure of ex parte communication. Has anybody on the board had an opportunity to discuss any of the cases before us today? Seeing none, we'll move on to number 6, administering of the oath of witnesses. If anybody here is going to testify as to any of the cases today, please raise your right hand.
Raise your right hand, please. Peter, you solemnly swear or affirm testimony evidence gives the truth and the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Has anybody on the board had a chance to read the minutes? And are there any changes or additions to it? Seeing none, I'll move to approve the minutes of the October 23rd, 2023 meeting.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please, Deb. Yes.
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 Thank you. There is no old business, so we'll move on to new business. Number 9A, case number 2023-671, property address 4740 South Atlantic Avenue, number 5.
Good morning, Your Honors. Welcome back. Case number 2023-671, Jamie and Maria Miller at 4740 South Atlantic Avenue, number 5. Ledge violations of the Florida Building Code, section 105.1, required. Synopsis, work without a permit. On September 26th of 2023, contractor Peter Carfero, which is with Lowe's Home Improvement Center, advised the town that the owner has requested the permit for a sliding glass door be canceled. It's our policy that once a permit is canceled by a contractor, we visit the property and ensure the work that was not performed. On September 27th of 2023, staff visited the property, noticed the work had taken place. Contact was made with the owner, and the conversation ensued. It was determined that the owner did indeed advise the contractor to cancel the permit, and the owner hired somebody else to install the sliding glass doors. Staff advised the owner a permit was required. Owner stated that he would obtain the required permits. As of this morning, no permit application has been submitted for the work performed. Property appraiser's notes depicting ownership. This is a non-homesteaded parcel. Volusia County tax rolls, as well as the warranty deed. Notice of violation that was sent out on September 27th with a compliance date of December 15th for the sliding glass doors that were installed without permits. And that's just the second page. The certified letter, one of the certified letters was returned as unclaimed, but the second one was returned. This is the permit fees and the information on our new system that we have. So you can tell that this permit has expired. It was issued in June of 23 with the expiration date of 12/16, and was to replace the sliding glass door. One of the notes inside was added by our administrative assistant on 9/26, stating that the contractor was requesting that that permit be canceled. Photo authentication affidavit, there's four photos dated September 27th. Mr. Mincy was out at the property, and this is part of the window. This is one of the stickers on the window, and just happens on the bottom left hand as a reflection of this, of the owner of the property. You still see that there's the new door with the stickers. And from the outside view. As of today's date, there's been no other communication with the Millers. At this point, staff would ask to find the property in non-compliance, grant 14 days, which would be on or before February 5th of 2024, to secure the required permits. Failure to do so would be brought back for further adjudication.
Is there anyone in the audience who's here to testify regarding this case? Seeing none, I think we'll need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
Dave, the other contractor that completed the work, do we know if they were licensed?
No, sir. Don't know.
You don't know who they were? Do we know when the work was completed, the date?
Do not know. I can tell you Mr. Mincy was out on the property on September 27th. And then on the 26th, the day prior to that, was the contractor advising the town to cancel the permit that he was no longer going to do the work. So either it could have been done the same day, it could have been done the very next day. I'm not sure.
And as far as the communication with the owner, minimal or none?
Mr. Mincy had conversations with the property owner, advised that a contractor would need to be hired to secure that permit. And the owner acknowledged that he would get the contractor in to secure that permit. And as of today's date, no application's been submitted.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions by the board?
Well, I'll make a motion then to find case number 2023-671, 4740 South Atlantic Avenue, number 5, in noncompliance, grant them 14 days, which would be February 5th, to bring the property in compliance or be brought back to the next meeting, and assess the $250 administration fee.
I'll second it.
Yes.
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 Moving on to 9B, case number 2023-698, property address 52 Bay Harbor Drive. Mr. Hooker.
Yes, sir. Case number 2023-691, Michael and Susan Dances at 52 Bay Harbor Drive. Ledge violations are the Land Development Code, section 4.10.4, tree vegetation protection and removal, section 4.10.5, procedures, section 4.10.6, violations and appeal, and the Florida statute 163.045, tree pruning, trimming, removal on residential properties. Synopsis is tree removal without permit. Staff is requesting that this case be treated as irreversible or irreparable damage in accordance with Florida statute 162.09 paren 2-A. On Tuesday, In 2022, the Florida legislature updated a provision of law, the Florida statute 163, involving pruning, trimming, and removal of trees on residential properties. Government entities are not required to have the owner get approval for a permit, or fees, or mitigation of pruning trees or removal of a tree on a residential property if the property possesses documentation from an arborist or certified by the ISA or Florida licensed landscaped architect that a tree possesses an unacceptable risk to the persons or a property. The ISA tree risk assessments categories risk into four separate categories: low, moderate, high, and extreme. A tree possesses an unacceptable risk if removal is the only means of practical mitigation. On August 2023, town received an arborist report providing by an arborist, Mr. Don Spence. In that report, it indicated two separate trees, an 18-inch and a 23-inch laurel oak. In the report, there was a few options that were given to mitigate to a lower risk for these trees. The low risk meaning removal was not required. In the second report by Ray Jarrett, an ISA certified arborist on October 7, 2023, also indicated that pruning could reduce the risk from moderate to low. Complete removal would require a permit for removal plus any other mitigations that came with that removal. In October, it was noticed by staff that these trees were being removed. Contact was made with the tree service and the owner. Advised that a permit was needed. The owner provided the required arborist reports. And however, those reports indicated that those trimmings from moderate to low risk for the trimming of those trees. On Tuesday, January 16th, staff met with the homeowner to discuss the violations. Replacements for these trees, There was 44 inches worth of trees that were removed. So you take the 2.5, you divide that by 2.5, which is the caliper of the tree for the removal, and it comes to 44 inches worth of trees. I'm sorry, 18 inches worth of tree that needs to be replanted. Now they could add into the tree bank at $350 per tree times the 18 trees for a total of $6,300. Or they can pay up to $5,000 per tree as penalty in Florida Statute 162 for irreversible damage. Property appraiser's notes depicting ownership as a homesteaded parcel. Volusia County tax rolls. As well as the warranty deed. Atlantic Tree Service was the company that perform the removal of the trees. Cal Clay and the notice of violation from October 6th, and granting them until January 6th of 2024 to mitigate the trees. This is just the pages of the notice of violation. Certified receipts were received and returned to staff. And then into these arborist reports, the two trees that were removed are the ones with the arrow. There was a 23-inch diameter laurel oak and an 18-inch in diameter laurel oak. First arborist report of August 14th from Native Florida Landscape. And the mitigation process of number one stated that if they reduce the length of the branches by 30%, that moderate risk would be low, meaning that a permit would be needed. I'm sorry, did everybody have an opportunity to read that? Is everybody good? Okay. And this is just more of the report. And again, that's by Dr. Don Spence. He's a plant pathologist, board certified master arborist. Again, those are the trees that are involved. And here's some of the photos from the arborist itself. Now, there was some decay on these trees, but again, according to the arborist, just reductions of the limbs would possibly save the tree, moved it to that low risk. And this is the second report from October 7th. And where the little star is indicating where the trees are. In this report, it stated the overall risk was moderate, and that was only for the fence or road. And the Florida statute says life or property. And in this mitigation list as well, again from another arborist, that removing 30% of the branches once again took that risk from a moderate to low. We all good on that?
Mr. Chair, I have a
question
for Dave. Okay. Dave, I heard you say that you met with the owners on January 16th. I didn't hear what the agenda or the results were for that. Did you say that?
Yes, we had a meeting on January 16th in the house with the department director, the planning administrator, myself, and Mr. Dances. And we were trying to come to a common ground for the replacement of the trees. On my understanding was he was going to submit something by Friday, last Friday. Mr. Dances is here today, and we did not receive anything. He would like to speak to this board.
Okay. So,
but we still have some more in the presentation. I'd like to thank you first. So as you can see, if I go back here a few pictures, you can see the first tree, the 18-inch. If there's anything that's going to fall, it's going to fall into the road. Or, you know, if that happens, of course, a little property value of the fence. The 23-inch is also leaning in the opposite direction, but it's going to go vertical, so it's not going to hit any homes in that direction. And that's where the arborist report comes in to say that it's not a risk to property. And these are just some other pictures from this arborist showing the trees. And we're going to see three photos. It's a photo from the photo authentication affidavit, three photos dated October 11th. And it's just the company with the removal of the trees. Again, Mr. Dances, Michael Dances is here, as well as Mr. Clay with Atlantic, Atlantic Tree Service.
I have a question also for Mr. Hooker. Did I hear you say that he offered to replace the trees, or he did not?
He was going to come up with a plan. That was the last conversation we had. And okay. That was on, and he was supposed to submit everything by Friday. But I spoke with him this morning, and he would like to speak to this board.
Okay.
Mr. Dancic, would you like? Yeah, please come up to the podium. Just state your name and address for the record.
Michael Dancic, 52 Bay Harbor Drive, Ponce Inlet, Florida 32127.
Who are you with?
He's with me. He's from Atlantic Tree.
Yeah, I'm with his name for the record, please.
I'm sorry?
We have your name and address for the record.
I'm Cal Clay, Atlantic Tree Service owner operator.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've lived at 52 Bay Harbor for about 10 years, maintained the trees for 10 years. Over the course of that time, those trees increasingly got worse, okay? You could tell by the pictures. I'm no expert, but there was some significant rot on those trees.
Excuse me, Mr. Dancic, is the microphone on? It should have a little green light.
Am I not close enough, maybe?
Yeah, yes, that, you're better, thank you. We're just having problems here and here.
Oh, okay. So over the course of the 10 years, we maintained the tree. I mean, I think you could see from my property, we maintained the property. Over that course of time, those trees got increasingly worse. Cal would come every year to trim and prune all the trees on my property. He pointed out those two trees as in pretty bad shape and that we should get an arborist out to look at it, but he felt that they should probably come down to avoid a problem, thinking that if we were to get a storm of any significance, that more than likely they wouldn't survive. So I chose to be proactive and take those trees down. Okay, I didn't want to take the risk. They, like Mr. Crooker said, there was no risk of those trees hitting my house. Would they have taken out the fence? Yes. Would one of them have gone down across the street? Absolutely, it would have went across the street. If it was during a storm and somebody had to get out, they probably wouldn't be able to. Okay, because those were pretty decent-sized trees. And I think if you saw in that one picture as well, there was a car parked there. And if my tree took out your car, that's my responsibility. That's damage to property. All of those risks I was not willing to accept. In particular, blocking the road. I have people on my road that are elderly, some with health issues, and I just wanted to eliminate the risk. You know, I did not want to take a chance of something terrible happening. Would I be willing to plant two trees on my property? Of course I would. Would I be willing to pay the permit fee? Absolutely, if it's required. And that's pretty much where I stand. I don't know if Cal would like to add something.
Yes, if that's okay.
Sure.
Can I show you those? I know y'all looked at the pictures too, but you want to just pass those around, a little closer look at them that way, at the bases of the trees. I talk pretty loud, so I doubt I'll need the mic. But so, I mean, just a quick description. I've been doing this for 29 years. I am not a certified arborist. I have the field experience. I've done a lot of work in Palm Coast, all of Volusia and Flagler counties. Second generation, my family's business started down here in 1984. We went through the whole Bay Tree debacle from here to Palm Coast. So as a known on a tree's disease, this was actually pretty obvious. And if you notice in the Ray Jarrett letter, the second arborist letter, when he wrote for the options to trim the limbs 30%. It's always an option. You can top, you can even hat rock a tree, which is really extreme topping, to take that risk away. But when he wrote in it, it says, after he wrote reducing to 30%, these trees have extensive decay and are not producing reaction wood or compartmentalizing previous wounding. Reduction pruning may accelerate retrenchment. So in when it comes to the law, it has to be a practical reason, practical mitigation reason. Practical is the key word there. The letters are written to the homeowners. So practical to the homeowner might be different than practical to you guys. So practically, if you're going to top the tree, and it's going to die anyway, he's going to pay me to top it. A year later, say it lasts 2 years, now you're going to pay me to take it down. So you're paying twice. Money is considered in part of this decision. It has to be practical to spend the money on it. Like when you take a car to a mechanic, he says, hey, your engine's blowing up. We'll keep it simple. You can pay me $2,000. We'll patchwork it, get you a couple months out of it. Or you can pay me $2,500, and we'll put a new motor in it, and you're set. You know, simple concept. You know, so when we looked at this and the way the arborists write these letters now, they will not, especially since they had to do the track certification, they will not pinpoint. They give you the homeowner options, always. Any arborist will always list the options for the homeowner. That's the way they have to do it now, because it took the liability off the arborists, because arborists were getting sued, stuff like that, by saying this tree needed to come down. City argued a bit, get a lawyer. Now this one person is liable for it. When this law was put into place, it was to give the homeowner rights to his property to choose what he wanted to do or she wanted to do with the trees. I mean, and that to me is a viable reason, a viable law. It shouldn't always be up to the city if something's truly diseased. I can see taking down a live oak, it's not diseased, totally. That makes no sense. Then you have a legitimate argument, you know? But again, my statement is the practical part. It has to be practical. And him spending money two different times, and especially the way things change these days with prices going up, goes up in our industry just like it does everywhere else, could have paid me $1,500 to top them this time, could have been $2,000 to take them down in another year, year and a half, if they didn't fall during a storm, and then it costs you double. Everybody knows prices during a hurricane, whether the tree's on the ground or not, prices are never what it would be if you took the tree down in a normal time and normal procedure. So that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted, you know, reading it thoroughly and understanding the practical aspect of it. It has to be practical to the homeowner, not the city. You know what I mean? He's the one paying for it. So in his eyes, and in mine too, the practical way was to remove those trees. And you see how bad the decay was. And if they're not healing, then that's basically what it's saying. So every cut you make is going to just rot and decay. You know what I mean? And it's not going to produce new growth. So it's just, again, practical is what my argument is. And that's up to y'all to decide, obviously.
So practically speaking, why wasn't a permit applied for?
Because if there's no practical mitigation.
If I can jump in there before, if I can respond to what they've said on that point.
Sure.
That is why we're here.
Exactly.
We're here because they did not get a permit.
The town wasn't telling you you couldn't take.
They wanted to argue the tree is dead, diseased, or dying. Our code allows it to be taken down. Our code creates a process for making that determination precisely so that it's not, this is what the homeowner, this is what the tree removal company wants to do. There's a process to decide that it's the right thing to do under the circumstances. That was end run by trying to use a statute that allows removal of dangerous trees. Not a tree that's not going to fall on a house, not a tree that's going to fall over onto the road, a dangerous tree, and removed based on letters that said, this is how you can reduce the risk from moderate to low. There was a path given. I hear the argument they're making, but that should have been the trigger to say, okay, then we need to go through the town's process. And that's what was not done, and that's why we're here.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and since you interrupted me, I understand that point, and it makes sense. He just said if we had to pay the permit fee, that's fine. That was my misunderstanding. If there's not a practical way to mitigate it, there wasn't a permit required, if you read it properly. So if I assumed, and we know what assuming does, let's be real, if I assumed that there was no practical way to mitigate, and that is also what I told him, then a permit's not required. It's the way it read. And I misread that or misunderstood it. That's totally my fault. And paying the permit fee, if that's, you know, so be it. It's happened before. I guarantee you this ain't the first one you'll ever come across. You know, I just, like, the reason I was here and the reason I tried to meet before was to explain these arborist letters and get it understood with everybody and try to be on the same page. The $6,100 or whatever, or the $10,000 only applies if it was a specimen tree, I believe, in y'all's statute. $5,000 per tree if it was a specimen tree, and a laurel oak isn't listed as a specimen tree, right? No?
No,
I wasn't,
sir.
Sure. I'm just, you know.
No.
Okay.
It's so, the $5,000 comes because it's irreversible damage, meaning
irreversible
the tree,
damage. Okay,
meaning
I thought
the tree's
it was
been removed, so it could be up to $5,000 per tree.
Okay, so you know, and his argument is, are you who are you, sir?
City attorney.
Okay, so his argument is that yes, it wouldn't have fell on a house. Could have damaged the fence, $100. Okay, still property. Still could have fell and hit property. But take the long shot, somebody driving by, and that tree falls. If we're going to, you know, if you're going to pinpoint things and pick out things that it couldn't have done this or it couldn't have done that, it could have done that as well. Someone driving by on a windy day, it snaps some brakes, hits a car. So that's got to be looked at as well. If we're looking at what it couldn't do, you got to look at what it could as well.
I think we have another question from
yeah.
the board.
Yes, if I, well, I want to go back to process, because I'm not going to argue. I mean, you get into what's acceptable and unacceptable risk.
Right.
This is not the place for that.
If I may just make a point on the risk, though, because I've heard the argument quite a bit in these cases in various jurisdictions, and every tree in this state, I can make the argument, somebody might be walking underneath it and it might fall down.
Absolutely.
By that logic, every tree in this state can be removed by the statute. That is not the legislative intent.
Yeah. Risk is risk. If you turn your car on, there's risk.
Right.
You know, that goes
correct.
Into it.
I don't think
so. I'd like to get clarity on the process that goes back to it.
Okay. And my comment, it's simply a comment, is that I think we're here to discuss the permitting process and the ordinance, not whether or not we agree or disagree with the arborist or the tree company. My position is that the owner has the burden to discuss directly with the city what his requirements are, not the tree company. So if the owner disagreed with the arborist report, it was he should have come to the city, had that discussion with the city, and obtained the proper permitting if that was what was going to be required.
When this all began.
Can you come to the mic, please? Thank you.
When this whole process began, arguably, I could say it began 10 years ago. Every year, I had those trees pruned, trimmed, just like I do every tree on my property. These trees increasingly got worse. You could look at the pictures. There was significant decay. It was a process over time, getting worse and worse and worse. This past year, when Cal was at the house, he said, those are in pretty bad shape. We should probably consider taking them down. I don't think they're going to make it through any type of significant storm. So I said, fine. And I've lived here for 10 years. I know how Ponce Inlet operates. So I asked Cal, you're going to handle the stuff with Ponce Inlet? They said, yeah, we're going to have to get an arborist report. I said, fine, whatever we got to do, let's do it. Our interpretation when the report came back was that we did not need permit. So if that was a misinterpretation on our behalf, then that's what it was. It wasn't purposeful. We didn't try to sidestep Ponce Inlet for a permit fee, I'm more than willing to pay a permit. I just said, okay, we're good, tree's bad shape, arborist agrees, let's get them down before they cause any damage. Again, it wasn't a risk to my house. I understood that. The fence, a few bucks, it could be repaired. But even in one of those pictures, there was a car parked across the street. That tree went down, that car is toast. That becomes my problem.
So, again, I want to go back to the process. There are two arborist reports that were in.
Correct.
Why was there a second one?
Because Don Spence, when I've been dealing with Don for a long time. I actually work with him on one of the
pictures. What was the town's role in that? Did you have any conversation? It says here in August, they received the first arborist report.
Well, I actually called Miss Patty and to request a permit. And she just flat out told me just to go, she didn't even go look at the trees. She just said, nope, just go get an arborist letter. Okay. Well, when I called Don Spence, he was out of state. So he sent someone, a friend or whatever, to do the pictures or whatever, and then he evaluated it through the pictures that he looked at.
Okay.
My evaluations on the tree were completely different, similar, but I was like, okay, well, you didn't even come out and look. I know you didn't because you're in Georgia, which whatever, the man's semi-retired, totally get it. So Ray Jarrett, none of these worked for me directly, by the way. Ray Jarrett, I sent out. He went out. He took the pictures that I have today.
So I want simple terms. Was the first one not good enough?
No, it didn't. It didn't show that it wasn't regrowing and list that it wasn't healing, the retrenchment, stuff like that. He didn't list all of that.
And who did you want to show that to?
Huh?
Who did you want to show those details to?
Oh, I just wanted to make sure it was a detailed letter. So y'all had it or whatever. Because some arborists just write a one page.
To the town.
Yes.
To the town. Did you get a response from the town as to saying, is this sufficient? Is this good enough or not?
No, not after the Ray Jarrett one. Not till after I was already working on the job. Because technically, you don't submit the arborist letter to the town. It's just on site if the town shows up, so you have it to show to them.
You just testify that you got those letters to submit to the town.
Yeah, I always do because I prefer to do it.
So, Dave, I'm confused on the timing because there is a document here that's the violation notice that says decisions of the parks, and because you talked about details that are on there, and so I'm getting back, can be appealed to the town council in writing and submitted to the town within 15 days of the decision or action. Is that not clear that if you got an issue with it, that you put it in writing?
Yeah. Well, that's it. And the only argument technically here isn't the details of this letter, because it could be looked at 30 different ways. It's the, if he wants to pay the permit fee, great, whatever. It's the $6,100 plus all this that was a little overkill. He didn't get the option to just pay the permit fee when they gave him options.
Had he applied for a permit, he would have had that option. He didn't have that option because you just cut the tree down.
We're really here just to, just because you didn't get a permit. You should have gotten a permit.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
You should have at least gone to the town and said, do I need a permit? You assumed that you didn't need one. You should never have assumed that. You should have gone to the town and said, here's what the arborist said. We'd like to take these trees down. What do we have to do?
Right. Agreed. Well, I understand that. I mean, and I totally understand where you're coming from as a council and the city and code enforcement. I get it. But the fine and stuff is where I think was, okay, if he made a mistake, or I assumed and I made a mistake, okay, we replace two trees and we pay the permit fee. I understand that there's no one not willing to do that.
This didn't happen overnight. I just heard 10 years of cutting back, mm-hmm. going on since August.
Yes.
To say it was a mistake to me, when all of this documentation out here to me is, I can't see it was a mistake. You said you knew the town had requirements.
I did.
Yeah, under oath, you made a statement along those
lines. I 100% did, and I also said that I believe that the arborist report satisfied that.
I understand.
That was my understanding. Believe me.
Oh, no. I'm not, you know.
Was the town ever asked if the arborist letter satisfied the requirements of the tree protection code?
I would probably say no. Right? I don't think we ever asked the town if that was a fact.
Dave, you have something?
I do. Cal, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
A comment, too. In a few minutes, we're probably going to vote on this, so I personally want to make sure I make the right.
Yes, sir.
So when you first started speaking to us, you mentioned that you've been working in Palm Coast and so forth. How long have you been working in Ponce Inlet?
If you count still my family's business, over 20 years. 29 years in the industry down here.
In the 20 years you've been in Ponce Inlet, have you ever cut a tree down before?
God, I'm going to be honest with you, probably not.
In 20 years, you've never cut a tree down?
Probably not, other than the dead bay trees, but that was a whole different scenario. There's not that much tree work down here when it comes to removals and stuff. I do a lot. I have several customers. It's all just maintenance.
Okay, not to be facetious, but
no.
Did you know that a permit was needed to cut a tree down?
Not with the arborist letter. I thought when Patty told me to get the arborist letter.
Who's Patty?
She works in the planning department.
Okay.
She's the one I was told to call for a tree permit, and then I found out that she doesn't know anything about any of that stuff. So she's the one that told me to get a tree permit or an arborist letter. And the way I read the letter, just like I read it to y'all, that bypasses the city permit. That's the whole idea of those letters a lot of times. And if I misread it and misunderstood it, I totally get it. And it just didn't. I've had a million of these written between Ormond and Palm Coast, and I know every city's different, extremely different, and I get that. And I was not trying. I work, my reputation is what I live by. I don't try to do stuff. I wouldn't have called the city in the first place if I was trying to skirt the edges. Why? That wouldn't make sense. You know what I mean? Let them know where I'm working and then skirt the edges. That wouldn't make sense at all. And so I tried to do the process right, and I thought when she told me to do that, okay, they just don't deal with it. You don't have an arborist on the staff at the city. I get that, so they just outsource it or whatnot. And it is what it is at this point, but, you know, that's what the letter to me cleared it up. I've had letters written the same way between Ormond and Palm Coast, and there's never been an issue. I apologize greatly if it's interpreted different here than I've interpreted it and other city people have interpreted. So that's all I can say on that, you know. If we got, like I said, they never gave him the option for the, just apply for the after-the-fact permit, okay, so be it, we would have done it. Not this crazy thing going on now, and that's what I feel bad about. You know, I take what I do seriously, and he's my customer. I've been working for him for 10 years since he moved here and put that addition on the house. Otherwise, I wouldn't showed up if it didn't matter to me. And I definitely wouldn't put my reputation on it if it didn't matter to me. So, the reason why...
Wait a minute, I'm not done. Can I finish? I was waiting for Cal to finish. Are you finished?
Yes, sir. Thank
you. Cal, I don't think I really got an answer. Did you know that you needed a permit to cut a tree down in Ponce Inlet?
No, not with the letter. I assumed the letter was what we needed when she told me.
Did you know that you needed a permit to cut a tree down in Ponce Inlet?
Yes, if the letter doesn't suffice.
Okay.
That, yes.
Okay.
The reason why, with an after-the-fact tree removal permit, that there's more to it than just paying for the permit, is an after-the-fact tree removal permit, the trees are gone. The tree replacement program is meant to replace tree mass. Replacing two older, mature trees with sticks, you are not getting anywhere near replacing the tree mass, which is what the mitigation plan that Mr. Hooker is referencing, that's what those mitigation plans are meant to do, is to replace tree mass either on property or, when it can't be done on property, payment into the tree bank, so there's money to replace tree mass within the city. That is, so it's not some crazy regime, and every city with tree protection codes has a very similar regime of replacing tree mass, not just tree number.
What does a town need to go forward on this, Dave? Can you tell us that? If I'm not interrupting.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Thanks.
What do we need to proceed?
Yes, so there was 44 inches worth of trees removed. According to the formula, comes up to 17.6 trees, but if you round that up, it's 18 trees that need to be replanted somewhere in the town. In our ordinance, each tree for into the tree bank is $350. So 18 trees times 350 is $6,300. That's the base. With the provision in the Florida Statute 162 as irreversible damage, each tree can be up to $5,000. So it could be $10,000. So somewhere between $6,300 and $10,000 is where the town would be requesting.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of money, Dave.
But you got to remember that the trees were removed, and this would be for any type of development. So if you put in a new home or you're removing it and just because you don't want it, then you'd have to add into the tree bank.
Well, is this an ironclad rule, or is there any room to work with this? That's a lot of money for this.
Well, there was a way. Any tree removed over a certain diameter had to go in front of the tree board. And that never took place either. That 23-inch laurel oak would have had to been in front of the board, and that never happened.
What board?
The tree advisory board. It's actually the, I forget the name of that board.
Archaeology?
Park Services Board.
Park Services. It's not in the town.
It's a town board.
Oh, it is a town board.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So that would have been in front of that board for removal anyway.
As another alternative to what this board can do today is they could order the respondent to give the respondent time to work with town staff to come up with a mitigation plan so that they could plant trees to offset some of those tree bank payments.
Correct.
So the board doesn't have to impose the dollar figure today. They could order a mitigation plan, and that the tree bank payment could be resolved in that mitigation plan.
True, yes.
I like the idea of a mitigation plan in this case, rather than the outlay of that much money by this the owner. I'd like to expand on that. What do you think about that, Dave? As far as a mitigation plan is concerned,
that's strictly up to this board.
Before we head into that direction, I just want to put out there that I'm going to, if I should or if I can, decline to offer any vote on this particular issue, because I just recently had trees and an arborist, and I had quotes and had spoken with the employees of Atlantic Tree Company, and we've decided not to use them for similar permitting issues, and have decided I don't feel I should be voting on this issue.
I'll defer to the board attorney, but unless there's an actual voting conflict, there is an obligation under state law to cast a vote.
You have to vote. You have no conflict at all.
Okay. I wanted to just make sure everyone was aware of that.
You did the right thing disclosing.
Okay.
You did the right thing.
So you said that we had an opportunity to do a mitigation, but I thought that was attempted.
They have an opportunity to do a mitigation plan with the city.
Right.
And so if you order them to, it's similar to the situation where somebody has talked to the town about mowing their grass for 2 months, but we end up having to bring it here. So you order them to mow the grass. It's a similar thing. Is when you're discussing a mitigation plan, trying to avoid being here, your motivation might be a little bit different than when you've been given 30 days to enter a mitigation plan.
I understand. I got to have a question, though. Just a second. So we can vote to have a mitigation plan ordered and then follow through at a different date. But my question is to you, Dave. Didn't you say that you were trying to do something by last Friday and it didn't come out to a mitigation or?
That's correct. The meeting of the 16th with the property owner, he stated that he would come up with some sort of plan for a replacement. And that was due by noon Friday.
Michael, that plan?
That's what I'd like
is
to,
it,
that's what
okay,
I wanted
go ahead.
To speak about. We met last Tuesday morning, and we discussed this issue. I received an email Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday afternoon, from Patty regarding the mitigation. And it was the formula that Mr. Crooker had discussed, the 18 trees times $350, $6,300. If I agreed to plant two trees, they would reduce that amount by $700, bringing it down to $5,700 or $5,600, whatever that number came to. I worked a lot. My wife works a lot. This is Tuesday afternoon. There's no way. Deciding on what trees, I would have to plant two trees, what type of tree I want, where I want to put it, and hire somebody to put it in by Friday. That was just an impossibility.
I don't think you had to put it in by Friday. I think you just had to have a plan.
They wanted my plan. You know,
Dave, expecting to be planted by Friday.
We wanted the plan by Friday noon.
The plan.
Right.
Did you say plan or planted?
I said plan.
Oh, plan. I'm sorry.
A plan.
Do you have a plan with you today?
When I spoke to Patty on the phone, I believe it was Friday, I told her, I said, Patty, I'm not against putting in the two trees. I'm more than willing to put in two trees. She's like, I told her I'm more than willing to pay the permit fee. What I can't offer you right now is when I could put those trees in. If you're giving me an arbitrary, you got 30 days to put the tree in or the trees in, I'm going to be honest, I can't commit to that.
Can you commit to a plan?
You know, depending on what that plan is, of course I can.
Well, that would be a plan that you would create and bring it to the.
You know, look, my plan would be, yeah, I could put two trees in and inside of 6 months. You know, I absolutely could do that. You know, easily. If you want the permit fee, I will pay the permit fee. I have no issue with that. But what did not make sense to me was, A, paying $6,300. I thought that was a little bit high. And B, planting two trees plus paying $5,700. Because at that point, I'll be honest with you, if those are my two choices, I'll write you a check for $6,300. Because for me to buy two trees and hire somebody to install a 10-foot tree, it's going to cost me more than $700. So that was my interpretation. If those are my options there, I mean, for me, or I should add three options. I guess there's the $10,000 option. You know, $10,000 to me is insane. $6,300, no trees, $5,700 with two trees, I'm taking the $6,300 because it's the cheaper route. It's the cheaper way for me to go.
So I'm looking. I appreciate your detail that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what the decision that we make going back around to it is either we make a decision on what the fine is and the action or the plan is, or we order them to work out the plan with the other board. My understanding is they've already got an offer on the table from the other board that's in there.
No.
There's no other board.
It was just staff conversation.
I heard Parks and Recreation, whoever. You know, but there isn't already an offer on the table that's not good enough. So the question is, do we take up the negotiating of that offer, or do we put it someplace else, is what I'm hearing.
And just to clarify, it's really not a negotiation. There's a formula in the code that says if you remove this tree, so it's not like the town can give more. The town can only enforce its code. And the second clarification is the $6,300 that Mr. Hooker references is not a fine. It is a payment into the tree bank so that there is money to replace tree mass. It is not punitive. And so I think, based on what I just heard, which is if the owner can plant two trees and pay an after-the-fact permit, then that's acceptable to him. The code does not allow that in this circumstance.
You can't negotiate the ordinance. That's what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Question in front of you is, was he in non-compliance or not? That's what you got to answer at this point. Is he in non-compliance or did he decide for a fine?
I'm ready to make a motion if we're done with discussion.
Dave, please go.
Bear with me, please. I'll make a motion for case number 2023-698 to have an administrative fee of $250 and to order them to have a mitigation within the next 30 days before our next meeting. And at that time, we'll make a final decision.
And that's a mitigation plan, you mean?
Mitigation plan. Presented and approved. Not just presented in 30 days, presented and approved in 30 days before our next meeting.
Yeah, I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Deb, please, roll call.
Yes.
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 No.
Mr. Bench?
Yes.
Ms. Cannon?
Yes.
And the motion passes 4-1.
Thank you, gentlemen.
One more question. This mitigation needs to include what? If I'm understanding,
we do not tell you what the plan is.
Oh, no.
I think you have to work that out with the other staff from the planning group.
Well, from what I'm understanding here, there's no flexibility on code.
That's
Am I understanding that correctly?
Yep.
The flexibility comes in on do you replace or do you pay into tree bank? That's where there's you. So you might say. Well, someone might say, you might not, but someone might say, well, I have room. How about if I plant 10 trees? And instead of paying into the tree bank, if that meets the requirements of the code. And so there's flexibility in terms of getting to the finish line, but the finish line still is replacement of tree mass that was lost.
So then there is flexibility on the violation. So in other words,
It's flexibility on how you get to the finish line of replacing tree mass. Do you get there by planting trees? Do you get there by paying tree bank or some combination thereof? So you might reduce tree bank payment by planting more trees.
Right. So if I say I'm not going to replant any trees, I'm at $6,300.
Correct.
If I say I'm going to replace 5 trees at $350 per tree, it would reduce that $6,300 accordingly.
Assuming that those numbers line up, yes, that's right. So more trees might mean less out of pocket. Exactly.
Okay, so that's. I just wanted to make sure before I offer something that's.
And I'm willing to talk to you after the meeting, or you can call me this afternoon. We can get through it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay, I need one copy of that.
To keep one copy of that. You introduced it as evidence. It has to go in the record.
Just one copy.
Clerk. We need to proceed with the hearing, and you're going to have to wait.
Okay, moving on to 9C, case number 2023-731, property address 4717 South Atlantic Avenue. Mr. Hooker.
Thank you. Case number 2023-731, Raz Real 2 LLC, care of Benjamin and Anna Rashelich, the owners at 4717 South Atlantic Avenue, alleged violations of the Florida Building Code, section 105.1, synopsis, work without a permit. On October 24th, 2023, staff received information about a walkway being constructed without permits. Contact was made with the workers, and subsequently, I spoke with Mr. Rashelich. He contended the permits were not needed since the work only involved repairs. Staff informed the owner that the permits were required and a stop work order was imposed. Despite the directive, work continued, thus a formal notice of violation / hearing was issued. On December 5th, 2023, permit application was submitted and underwent review. On December 8th of this year, of 2023, an email was dispatched to the contractor outlining additional requirements essential for the permit issuance. On January 8th, 2024, permit conditions were signed by the owner and the contractor as required, thus the permitting being issued. Property appraiser's notes depicting ownership. Non-homesteaded parcel.